Ephesians chapter 5. And good morning again. All right, so we're here in Ephesians chapter 5. We'll be looking. Let me go ahead and start reading, and we'll read some of what we read last week. But starting in verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this day. As we look to your word, we just ask that, that you help us to put the things of the world aside, and we'll be focused on your word today. And Lord, just to let the Holy Spirit have free course as he shares with us and teaches us and transforms us more and more into your image. And Lord, if there is one here that doesn't know you, Lord, before today's done, that they'll truly know you and that free gift of salvation that you offer. So thank you again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, just as a quick recap, this is Christian Walk Part 10, and then I'll be starting with a different name next week. But last week we did. We talked about walking as children of light, and we compared in contrast. But the one thing I wanted to hone in on is we talked about our responsibility as Christians, that too many times we look around and we say, God, why don't you do something? Or it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. What's going on? And we should realize that we have a responsibility. We don't want evil to run rampant. We don't want it to get worse and worse. Well, God says that he's entrusted us with his word to share it with others, to expose the darkness and to reprove it, all by simply walking and loving him. Not only do we get the benefits of living for him with that grace and that peace and that comfort that only he can give, but also that work that can be accomplished through us because God has that free access to do as he sees fit. And it's a wonderful thing, but we can make a difference in this world. We can make a change. So when we get here now, and we'll pick up here in verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I just remembered I don't have my wireless pointer, so I gotta go back to my PowerPoint here. Okay, there we go. So some believe that this is a call to unbelievers, but me, I say that this is a call to Paul, not Paul I'm talking about, Paul talking to us as believers. And the reason why I say that is that looking at all of it, he's constantly talking to us through his whole epistle. He's going back and forth, contrasting, comparing, contrasting our old life with who we were once and who we are now. That yes, we should be mindful of where we came from, that great love that brought us into this new life. But I believe that he's talking to us as Christians to wake up, because today we have a job to do. We're to wake up. Paul makes that comment in chapter 4 that we can be like that rest of the world. We can still walk as Christians, as believers, in the rest of the world, in that unfruitful, as what Paul talks about, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We know that being spiritually dead, as Paul says, no matter how much good you do, no matter how much you think you're doing is awesome, when you're spiritually dead, death can only produce death. But we can be associated with it. We can say, you know what, God? I don't want to walk in this new life of what he says you are now created in righteousness and true holiness, this new man, this new creation, that you're no longer this person anymore. But we can still decide to walk in it. So there are some of us not wanting to stand to who we are. And I believe Paul is actually saying, wake up. Wake up and now start walking and living for the Lord. He laid down everything, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but he laid down everything in Ephesians, positioning who we are, that it's never going to change. He says that we're saints. He told us that in chapter, even in the same chapter, be followers of God, even as dear children. Walk in love. Okay, be who you are now. But then when he says here, as becometh saints, not as you become a saint, but you are a saint. So walk like a saint. In God's eyes, you're already just. You're already justified. You've already been declared righteous. So that's what I believe he's saying. But before that, though, I do know some believe this is a call to those that don't believe, or the unsaved, saying to wake up and Christ will give you light. Yes, look over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is how I'll explain. So if you are here today and you don't know the Lord, yes, God is always calling you. Anytime you hear God's word, the Holy Spirit's always calling you to believe. And here's what that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whoops, I went a little too far. It says in verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. This is where I believe, as well as here at the church believes, this is our great commission, the ministry of reconciliation. What really is that to you that might not know? It says, for he hath made him, so God the Father has made God the Son to be what? Sin for us. Why is that important? We'll get to that in a second. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. So God hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Why is that important? Because in chapter 4, if you flip over one page, Paul does make a comment. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, just like he did at the creation of the world, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, when he called that light out of darkness, it's the same with us as well. Commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened. We were made alive the moment that we understood that God made his very own Son. Christ became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Again, what does that mean? Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 says, okay, righteousness of God, well, I can work for it. When I leave this world, I can have a 51-49 aspect. I did mostly good in my life, and God will accept me. No. When Christ became sin for you, he took care of your sin. He became sin. So as a sinless, perfect sacrifice, God in flesh, being fully God yet fully man, experiencing things that we experience, being tempted as we're tempted, but overcame all. He hung on the cross, and as he hung on the cross, the world, all of it, all the sin, past, present, and future, including us today, and all that will come later, as sin was poured out and he became sin for us. And he took all that and he basically made the payment for sin for us. Something we could not do, because the word of God says, but to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That was pure love. That was pure grace, what Christ did on the cross for us. Grace that says, you know what? I didn't deserve that. But because God loved us so much, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies, he died for us, paid that sin debt. So now he says in verse 5, but to him that worketh not. So you stop what you're doing. Stop thinking about, oh, this must be the way. Oh, wait, this must be the way. Oh, wait, this must be, I'll do this. No, but to him that worketh not. So stop what you're doing. But this is what you do. Believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. And later on at the end of the chapter it says, now it was in verse 24, it says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So when Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. You want to be made the righteousness of God? He says in Romans 3:23, just flip another page back. Here's the righteousness of God. Without the law, without the deeds of the law, without you trying to do anything, you stop what you're doing. the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, that fully God, fully man, who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for us. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And the moment you believe, the moment you say, Lord, here I am, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm separated from you. I know your word says there's none righteous, no, not one. I couldn't possibly work my way to heaven. But Lord, I thank you that your son made the payment for me. And not only did he make the payment, he shed innocent blood, but he was able to conquer death, rise again, present himself to you as saying, sin is satisfied. So now, there's nothing between you and God. Not anything you think you could have ever done to say, I'm unsavable. It's just you accepting a free gift out of pure grace. Him saying, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And he says, here, full grace. Here's my love. Here's my grace. All you have to do is believe. The moment you believe, he says, you're justified freely. Freely by his grace through the redemption of his Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He was at mercy. He was at complete satisfaction. God's judgment, his wrath, everything that he had in sin, Christ fulfilled the payment of sin. So now you just have to have faith in his death, his burial, and resurrection, his finished work on the cross. You're one of his. So now you can fast forward to here with Paul saying, we know that as believers. In the moment of that, we see in Ephesians 1:13, you're sealed now with the Holy Spirit of promise. We read some scripture today that you're sealed for all of eternity. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You're positionally in a position of favor, knowing that you will be forever with the Lord if you leave this world and die. You're absent from this body and present with the Lord. When we have all those things, we talked many times and said it over and over again. Ephesians talks about that. So now we are here to wake up. Wake up. Why? We'll get to that in a second. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. We as Christians told to wake up. Start living for the Lord. Not just because it's the right thing to do, but because that's how we can truly experience God. And also for the rest of the world to see God in us. And they get to see who he is, and we can share that same love with them. And then they can personally know that God is love. Romans 13:11. In that, knowing the time, that now is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Again, now it's high time to wake out of sleep. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't say what Paul dealt with in Romans chapter 6 when he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We're fully identified with Christ. Wake up. Realize who you are in Christ. That's never going to change. Realize here that our salvation is nearer than when we believe. Not our salvation, our souls. There's three different things. We are saved from that penalty from sin, but we're also going to be saved from the presence of sin one day. And that day, every time we wake up, another day, we're closer to that day that we'll be with the Lord. So that salvation, or when we'll be with the Lord, is nearer than when we believe. But right now, we also have power over sin if we're willing to walk as children of light. So the night is far spent. It doesn't matter how much you think evil is prevailing in this world. Doesn't matter. Let us therefore cast off the works of the darkness and let us put on the armor of light. When Paul says, have no fellowship, back into Ephesians chapter 5, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So Paul is saying to get up, wake up. Make sure I don't have it on here. So get up, wake up, knowing who you are now in Christ, that's not going to change, who you will be in Christ forever with him, with a glorified body just like him one day, that's not going to change. But now, let's start experiencing the Lord, living for the Lord. Now let's live in Christ. So walk. Wherefore he saith, awake out, sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. As we walk with the Lord, what happens? The Holy Spirit is at work. and he produces in your life. He produces the peace you're looking for, that satisfaction that you're looking for in life, that meaning in life, all those things the world looks for but can't satisfy. When you start walking, you will have all of them met. But also, you live for the Lord. You work for the Lord. You share his love with other people. People see Christ in you, that same light. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Skip the verse. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And I want to make sure I have this up for you, so I'm going to duplicate my screen so I know where I'm at. All right, good. So I made this comment, and I've heard this. Well, the first comment's not for me. Today is tomorrow that we worried about yesterday. And as we get into this next part of walking circumspectly, I reword it to my own interpretation. Yesterday is today and tomorrow is today. How many of us are caught up worrying about yesterday? What happened yesterday? And it affects you today. The beauty of grace. As a believer, we know we're secure in Christ. We know we mess up, we screw up, we stumble, we fall. But we can get back up. Just start looking at the Lord, and he immediately begins to start working all things together for good to them that love him. Beauty of grace. Or maybe you're here thinking, today I don't want to commit my life to the Lord. I don't want to say, Lord, I place my faith in your finished work, because you think you're unsavable of everything you've done in the past. No. Don't be burdened. Christ took care of that. We as believers, sometimes we worry about tomorrow. And we think the end is near. There's too much evil and all this other stuff. When God says no, 1 Thessalonians, we talked about it in 5, that we're also saved from the wrath to come. We don't have any part in the tribulation or the second coming of Christ. Not only are we saved today, absent from this body, present of the Lord, but we also don't have to experience what people say is coming or is here already. We don't have to worry about yesterday. We don't have to worry about tomorrow. So quit focusing on that. Focus on today. Today is walk. Walk. This word also carries the thought of like a proof of ability. So how many times has Paul been contrasting us with who we once were and who we are now? And he really reaffirms who we are. So be followers of God. Walk as children of light. Walk in love. So this walk here, and it says walk. See then that ye walk circumspectly. It's proof of who you are. It's not going to change who you are, whether you don't walk or not walk. But because you are a brand new creature, never to go back. You don't have to worry about who you once were. Because forever you'll be with the Lord. Nothing's going to change it. You've been declared righteous. But proof of who you are, we see that in verse 4:24. In that ye put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and holiness. Thank the Lord that he, all we had to do is place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he completes the whole transaction of declaring us righteous, having that absolute forgiveness of sins, to the point now, here in verse 5, 1 through 3, he says, now we can walk in love. Now we can be just like Christ, who loved and gave himself an offering and sacrifice of God, a sweet-smelling savor. That has become a saint. Let's walk as proof of who we are. Circumspectly, the word means to like exactly, diligently, perfect, carefully. And I think of, well, we're coming real close, and this example has been used many times by many people. We're on the cusp of getting into the armor of God and being a soldier for Christ. But how many times, if you think of a minefield, are you going to just say, hey, look, there's a minefield out there? You think the soldier is going to be like, well, let me just take off running because it's really not there. No. You're going to sit there. You're going to walk carefully. You're going to look at the whole terrain. You're going to look at, was this messed with? Was this new ground here? Is something buried here? You're going to see everything. Notice everything around you. Consider everything. And take your time going through the minefield. Me personally, I was thinking of a trip through the forest. When you take and go on a hike, is every path nice and clean? No. I remember many times as a kid just walking through the woods looking, hey, look at that, and you trip over a root. Or there's a divot in the ground, and you jam your knee. All these things. But when you walk, you should walk, hey, there's roots, there's a cliff, there's a hole in the ground, there's a tree, there's a beehive, there's a yellow jacket nest. This is the idea, circumspectly, that you, as you go through life walking with the Lord, walking as children of life, you're mindful. you're mindful of saying, there is evil. The Lord says, let that not be named once among you. I see that person hurting. Oh, I have a chance to witness or a chance to share Christ's love. And Christ will bring those things into your life when you don't want to be have a tunnel vision of saying, I'm just going to go my way. When you look all around, take note of everything going on in light of God's word, you will see many things. Opportunities that you've never seen before. Answers that you thought weren't being answered but are really there. So many things. But also remember, evil does the same thing. It's careful what it does. It's very mindful of who the children of light are. And the moment you start walking through with the Lord and growing in the Lord, it knows as well. Satan knows. He knows who you are and wants to come after you. But thank goodness we have a God who says we stay focused on Him. He'll work it all out together for good. We have victory in all those circumstances. Yeah, we can be beat up, go through hard times, but we can always be an overcomer. So this next word, so walk. Walk circumspectly. And again, he says, not as fools, but as wise. We hit on that some. You are who you are. Don't be ignorant to that. Don't be ignorant to that. I mean, who, if it benefited you, you would take all the time in the world to be who you are. And we use that analogy of the president and the son, who the son would not have to make an appointment to run into the White House and sit down in the president's dad's lap because it's his own child. Here we are, a child of God. We don't need an appointment. We can go straight to him. We are always in his presence. But add another level to that, thinking, well, there's all these benefits too. By going to the Lord and listening to what He says in His Word. He guarantees us the God of all comfort. He says the God of peace will be with you if you rejoice and give thanks and just lay it all at His feet. He says if you ponder all these things here, Philippians chapter 4, the God of peace, the peace of God, can be yours for the having. All these benefits, just like the little boy who had a high-ranking leader, but was his son who could just go to him anytime and probably would take advantage of, say, yep, my dad's this king or the president or this general and can just do whatever he wants. Well, how many times are we ignorant of who we are in Christ and we're not willing to stand and in a way have a good time in the Lord? We look at it as that, oh, we're under the law. We have to do this. We have to do that. Yes, we should be living for the Lord. We should be putting aside the works of darkness. But because of grace and His love and the empowerment, the working of the Holy Spirit in our life, it is a wonderful thing. And if we have that mindset, how much more will we, in a way, this word here, not as fools, but as wise, or not, so sorry, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. These words are pretty much the same word, but one's the opposite meaning. So it's the same word as wise here, but the opposite is a fool. So don't be the exact opposite of wise, but be wise. Look over 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to share a few verses here. 1 Corinthians 1, 18. A little side note, you caught me chewing gum. I'm not doing it on purpose because they say you shouldn't chew gum and do this, but I don't have to take a drink and worry about my mouth getting dry, so it's a lot better chewing gum. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? I bring this up because, well, let me read the next verse. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. That's simple. The world wants to say, put so much in, I mean, look at every religion. We would have a part in salvation or nirvana or whatever the case may be. Whereas God, the Creator, the one true God, says, no, I did it all. You just need to believe. Look over to Romans chapter 16. And I'll show you why I'm reading these verses here in a second. Romans chapter 16, at the very end of the book of Romans. I just want to read this comment. 16:27, the very last verse of Romans. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And then one more verse, 1 Corinthians again, chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 5, just flip over a page or two. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why? If you continue reading on those verses, what do we have access to? We have access to the very mind of God. Why? Because the moment you believe, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He takes up residence inside of you. So now this Bible here, as you read it and study it, and then all of a sudden, you're like, wow, I never knew that. Wow, that helped me out in life. Or I'm up here speaking, and then someone over here hears something, says, hey, thank you for this. And I'm like, no, thank the Lord. But they'll say, look, the Lord showed me this. And then over here, someone says, no, the Lord showed me this. That's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. We have access to the mind of God by simply, when you look to the Lord and just walk in love, walk as children of light, we have access to this wisdom. And that's a special thing. The end of Romans chapter 16, God's the only wise one. He is the only one that has the true wisdom. But yet, we as children of God have access to that. And we're told not to be fools, but to be wise. 1 Corinthians 2, 5, as we shared again, but worldly wisdom is foolish. It'll say all kinds of things. It says, hey, you're nothing but an animal. There's no meaning in life. Once you're done with this life, we're just going to discard you like a piece of trash. God says, no, you're someone that was literally created in my image. You're not from some speck in the ocean and then eventually from an animal. You're someone I created for a specific purpose. The world says, here's your purpose in life. Here's your meaning in life. But yet people struggle looking for this all the time. But yet God says, I'll fulfill that. God's the only one that is dependent or independent. He's the only one that can exist in and of himself without anything else. But yet he made the creation us to worship him. And not only, it's not just bowing down as a slave. It's a two-way street. He wants to share his love with you and his grace, as he says in Ephesians, that throughout the rest of the ages, we'll get to experience these things. The world says wisdom, here's what it is. And almost every aspect of it is contrary to what God's word says. In psychology, you'll have all these ways, different things that says, oh, here's a way to do it. And then you'll have another part of psychiatry that says, no, this way, that's completely opposite. So you'll have these five or six or whatever main aspects of how psychiatry and psychology works, and none of them agree. That should tell you something. But yet God's word is very straight. Again, don't take that out of context. I know there's people medically that have true chemical imbalances and other things. I'm not commenting on that. I'm commenting on the part where psychology says, I understand the soul and the spirit, when they don't. They have no ability. Like 1 Corinthians chapter 2 says, they're spiritually discerned. They have no ability to even begin to understand the spirit and the soul. We can only because we have access to the mind of God. We can share God's truth, the one that can enter in, discern between that soul and that spirit, to hit home, to truly renovate your mind, renew your mind. So don't be a fool. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then he goes on to say, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming means to buy up, ransom, rescue from loss. Time is basically at all times, every moment, every opportunity. So this part of walking as wise, we are not sleeping in the dark, nor are we walking in the dark. He says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So we are to go out and seize every moment. Part of redeeming time, buying back the time, is like, again, and I'll keep saying it because it's so prevalent right now with everything that's going on in the world. I think too many Christians are copping out and saying, well, the end is near, who cares? When God's word says something else. And they said, well, nothing's going to change that person. If that person's going to be saved and God's going to save them, what do I have? No, God's word says something else. God's word says, no, we have a job. We are called to do something. We are called to action. Get out there, redeem the time, buy back the time. Because Satan will if you don't. He'll keep it. Everywhere you go, he sees a big light walking around, a Christian, a child of God, and he says, oh, there's an opportunity. I see this person hurting. They seem like they're pretty primed that if this person makes their way, that light's probably going to hit them and they're going to turn to the Lord. So he's going to do all that he can to take that moment away. But we're called to redeem the time, no matter what time it is. Waking up in the morning, redeem the time. You say, oh, I got to go through this again. Or you say, Lord, thank you. Because no matter how much I screwed up, you still love me. There's still grace. There's still you willing to work all things together for good. Or do you grumble and moan and then say, I don't want to walk in the Spirit. I don't want to walk in that true life and peace. And say, I want to walk in the flesh. That's part of redeeming the time. Or you go out and you see someone else. Chance to witness. You say, no. Well, you had a chance to buy up the time. You had a chance to truly live for the Lord. We have such a huge responsibility to just walk with the Lord. We don't have to save the whole world. But whenever you give your life over to the Lord and live for Him, the power that lives inside of you will do all that changing. Sometimes we plant seeds. Sometimes we water. But God's the one that will make it happen. He will give the increase. So it says, redeeming the time because the days are. Remember our responsibility. We looked at this. We are living epistles. Just look at a couple verses. This is a sister verse to this verse. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Again, there are many people that would love to find hope in this world, meaning in this world. And here we as believers have that. So that's why Paul goes through and lays everything out in Ephesians. To who you are, living for the Lord so you can experience Him. Then ultimately he'll end in the book of Ephesians to be able to stand up against Satan and his cohort. And that's amazing. But remember, walk in wisdom toward them or without redeeming the diet. Time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Again, redeeming the time isn't picking up God's word and going over to that person and beating them over the head with it. No. There's a seasoning of salt. When you go out, maybe you need to season the way you speak, but you're doing it with love. And then sometimes, we all know what salt does. You add some salt, tastes really good. Don't have any salt, it might be bland, who cares? Put too much salt on it, whoa, that's offensive. Or that's hate, or that's judgmental, whatever it is. So, walk in wisdom without redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Galatians 1:4, just to point out what Paul said too about the current age that he was living in. Galatians 1:4, he says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father. Just to point out that this is an evil world. Always has been and always will be until the very end when Christ comes back and does what he does. But we're not going to focus on that right now. So we can't say it's getting worse and worse and worse. It will only get worse if we quit doing stuff. We quit taking a stand and just stay asleep. One more verse, Philippians 2:15. Just another call that he does in this epistle. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Again, we should be walking as children of light. We use that example of a lighthouse. Are you being that lighthouse? If you want to make that comparison to here. Walk in love. Redeem the time. Are you investing in this lighthouse? Holy Spirit, God himself took up residence inside of you. You are now the Holy of Holies. And we have a job to do to polish this temple up, to live and work on it. So that what? So as the light goes out, casting out into darkness. That's what lighthouses do. They send a light out into darkness. So what? So they can bring in the people who are lost, people that are hurting, revealing darkness, casting it out of the road, exposing them to the truth of what God's word really is. First and foremost, to God's grace, that he truly died for them. A true love that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, a simple faith in Christ's death, in his payment for sin, for your sin, in full. A simple faith in that. Or it could be that light that you allow to shine out that reveals truth and others that have decided they wanted to go out and lay down in it, live in the world. And you remind them, no, over here is a better way. Whatever the case is, we need to be living for the Lord so the Holy Spirit, the light that goes out and does the job, can do what he needs to do. Unwise. He goes on again. Wrong chapter here. So redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Unwise again here, though, means kind of stupid or foolish. It can mean a little other things like being ignorant and stuff like that. But we as believers, I believe it is stupid and foolish. Do not be stupid or foolish. Why? Again, we have access to the mind of God. Remember Paul's powerful prayers in Ephesians, when he goes on to say that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, you can be rooted, you can be grounded in love, you can comprehend with all states the breadth, the height, the length, the depth, everything, the whole scope of God's love. You can know it and experience it. The same knowledge, the same love that passes all knowledge, all understanding, the world can't know it, but you, as believers, can, if you're willing to walk. Wake up and walk with him. It's not just you, do this, do this, do this, do that. No, this is you living in grace. Where, yes, you are caused. Your love constrains you, moves you to, yeah, cast off the work of darkness and experience that true love. But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Again, we've used this verse many times, but Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Understanding the will of God in its simplest form is right here. God's word that we have access to and is now alive and does. But the second part is, you allowing God's word to renovate your mind, to continue to allow God access to every part of your life. Because we all sometimes hold parts of our life saying, well, I'll do this. I'll go to church, or I might go to Bible study. And yeah, I might stop this or that course language. But there's this part over here that no one really sees. So you know what? I'm going to hold on to that. Because no, that hinders you from experiencing love's or God's love and his peace and his grace and his power that can be yours. So, let me bring my... So in closing, I made mention again, yesterday is gone. And to relate this again, one day we will do a study on this, but there's different levels of sanctification. But positionally, you're his, and it's not going to change. You're a saint. You're accepted. You're declared righteous. So you don't have to worry about what you did a minute ago or 5 minutes ago. Yes, it should cause us to live more for the Lord. Learn from it. I'm not saying to never learn from it. But I'm saying don't allow it to interfere with God's grace and his love that he wants to do today. Tomorrow is not yet. But to us as believers, it's already done. We're already going to be with him when we leave this world, absent from this body, present with the Lord. It's already done that we're saved from the wrath of God. We're saved from all that judgment of sin that includes the tribulation. When you read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, that includes the second coming of Christ. We're saved from all that as well. So we don't have to worry about tomorrow because it's good as gold. But today, we are called to walk what is called practical sanctification. We're called to walk in love. Walk as children of light. Paul is a man of action. He's always called. He completely emboldens you in who you are in Christ. So you don't have to worry about that. So you can look for the coming of the Lord. Well, we'll get to that in a second. So now you can live for the Lord. Turn and we'll close with this verse. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So as he gives that charge to Titus, but look, for us, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God is there. So today, if you don't know him as your as person, that you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, here it is. I just shared with you how he made that happen. That simply through his shed blood, that he bore their sin, made payment for your sin, all of it, even the things you'll commit later. And if you're willing to place your faith in him, knowing you are, so you couldn't do anything, but Christ did. You say, "Lord, I believe your finished work on the cross." That moment, you're saved for all eternity. But today, he tells us that we should be putting off that old man, because we're a new man. We're someone completely different. Quit trying to be what you're not, because it doesn't do any good. But then when he says looking for that blessed hope, that doesn't mean that we sit down and realize God's coming back for us in the rapture. Sit back saying, "Well, if I die, I'm absent from this body, present with the Lord." No. He wants that as this is something you expect to happen. So my challenge is you today, when you think about yesterday, tomorrow, but focus now on today. What if the Lord was going to come back in the rapture to take the whole church, the body of Christ, away? Let's say Tuesday night at 4 p.m. What will you be doing? What will you have up on your phone? What will you have up on your computer? Where will you be at and what will you be doing? Maybe in private, out in public, whatever the case may be. When Christ comes, let's say you could take and do whatever it is you're doing with you at the rapture. You can't, but let's say you could. Would you say, "Oh, Lord, hey, I forgot that inappropriate magazine. I want to bring that with me." Or you say, "Lord, I was just belittling this person. Can he come with me so I can keep belittling him for all of eternity?" You know, all these different things. But it makes you think. Living for the Lord. If he were to come, who we should expect, because it is literally imminent. It can happen any moment. Nothing special has to happen before that secret coming for the church, the body of Christ. So what are you doing today for the Lord? Where will he find you and what will you be doing? We're called to walk, and it isn't a call because we have to. It's not a call under the law. It's a call to live in grace, to experience him as well as live for him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word, so much for that it is a rock, that it is true. And Lord, to all that believe, simply believe, you provide that peace with you for all of eternity will be with you. But Lord, today, you're also offering the peace of you. We have peace with you because there's no more judgment. We're forever yours. But now we can start experiencing the peace of you where you shower your blessings. We get to witness you as you get us through hard times. And we get to serve you, bringing others to your knowledge, to your love. Again, Lord, help us to live for you and put you first in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.